Okay?
You would be surprised.
Brother Stephen's done a phenomenal job, amen. Brother Stephen's done a great job, amen. Then, I want you, right now, as he comes up to preach the final message, to get on your feet and let him know you love him. Come on!
Hey, you guys are great. Thank you. Hey, couple things. I am pumped about this week. I love everything that's gone on this week. It's been fun. I've enjoyed getting to meet the Brown brothers, Brother Brown and Brother Brown. Let's give them a hand. Yes. Yes. Amen. And, of course, Pastor Donald. Now, hold on. Wait. No. Not yet. Pastor Donald. Do you guys love Pastor Donald or what? Hey, listen, just so you guys know, this girl right here just put a fake snake on this girl's seat and scared her to death. No one else saw it, but it worked. It worked. You guys have been great all week. Let me ask a couple quick questions, okay? How many of you don't have to tell me what it is, but how many of you made a decision for God this week? Good. Both hands. Two decisions. Good. How many of you put your hands down? Thank you. Let me just see, and this is not to embarrass you, but we want to rejoice with you. Who got saved this week? Who asked Jesus to be their Savior? One right here, and right here. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Good. Hey, guys, that's what it's all about right there. That's excellent. That's awesome. And you guys have been really good. I want you to take your Bibles. Let's go ahead and get started tonight. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. While you're turning there, if it's really as easy as what the skit made it seem like, I could just be like, let's read the scripture, tell you what you need to know, and then hit the altar. Don't do it. Don't hit the altar. You stand up. She doesn't look anything like me. Sit down. Aiden, can I have the cup? Hey, who drew the Spider-Man?
Jordan,
great. I'm keeping this. This is awesome right here. That's okay. All right. Let's do this, guys. I'm going to preach for about 30 minutes. That's it. The first night, I preached for 55 minutes. The second night, 35. I'm cutting it by 5 minutes tonight, okay? Now listen, everybody together, follow along. Genesis 39. Verse number 1, everyone quiet, let's look at our Bibles, please. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought them down thither. Father in heaven, I pray that you help us as we look at the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the excellent week we've had so far. Lord, we ask you one more time that though we've had a lot of fun and everybody's excited tonight, everybody's pumped up, that you would come in here and take control of this service. Lord, help us not to think that, wow, this is just the last night, we don't need to pay attention. Help us to listen to your Spirit tonight. God, you've already done some incredible things. Lord, I thank you for the friendships that have been made this week. Thank you for the message today, Brother Brown preached, Brother Ian preached. God, thank you for Brother Donald, for his wife. Thank you for my wife who traveled all this way with me with our kids. Thank you for the Browns who have sacrificed their time to be part of this camp. Thank you for every worker. Thank you for every cook. Thank you for everyone who's worked in the kitchen or cleaned up after we've left. Thank you for everyone who has served this week. God, thank you for every soul who's here tonight. Thank you for every teenager that got saved this week. And Lord, thank you for every decision that was made. Lord, we have one more chance tonight to see you move. And God, we need you to do it. We cannot do what we need to do on our own. We need you to help us tonight, Lord. I ask you to help us this evening one last time. Lord, help me as I preach. Help the teenagers as they listen. Lord, also I don't want to forget to thank Pastor Rich. Thank you for Pastor Rich for allowing this to happen. God, give us a great night tonight. Help us to get something from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, as you look this way, very, very quietly, very, very carefully, and I don't want us to listen for just a few more minutes, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, okay, looking this way, Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "A man deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps." A man's heart, excuse me, deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That means that a man, a human being, likes to plan. We like to have things we want to do. We like to say, well, I want to be this when I grow up. Or I want to have these goals this year. Or I want to see God do this. Or I want to make this much money. Or I want to do this. If you play sports, maybe it's basketball. You want to make this many free throws out of 100. Football, you want to run so many miles to get in shape. Whatever the case may be, a man's heart deviseth his own way. We plan and we prepare and we try to do things the way we think they should be done. But the Bible then follows with this. Check this out. Listen, I'm just quoting it to you tonight. Listen to me, everybody, this way, okay? The Lord directeth his steps. That means that as much as we want to plan and we want things to happen our way, sometimes things don't go the way we think they should. And we end up going, God, why are you doing this? Or we end up asking the question, pay attention please, we end up asking the question, how did I get here? How did I end up in this place? Joseph is one of the most incredible young people in the whole Bible. If you read the story of Joseph, I can't find in the Bible anything that to criticize about Joseph. You know, David, we talk about David, Goliath, and oh yeah, David was a man after God's own heart. But David sinned, so we can talk about that. Abraham, he was a friend of God, but Abraham also had some problems, and he made some mistakes, and so we talk about those so that we can learn from them. But you read through the life of Joseph, it's like you can't really find any sin. Now, I'm not saying he was sinless. He was human, so just like we are, so sure, he sinned, but the Bible doesn't tell us about it. There's really nothing that we can look at. Pay attention this way, please, Aiden. Just look up this way and listen, okay? Joseph was the young man who literally did everything right. He never really did anything to cause him a lot of grief on himself. He never made any huge mistakes. Though he was human and maybe he made some mistakes, he never made any huge mistakes. And yet it seemed like Joseph, who was the best kid in the youth group, the most obedient son to his parents, and all of those things, Joseph's the one who had the hardest time in life. Joseph tried to do right. Joseph tried to live for God. Joseph tried to do whatever God wanted him to do. And yet, Joseph is the one who ended up, his brothers hated him so much, they threw him in a pit. Joseph is the one who ended up, their brothers, they wanted to kill him, and instead of killing him, they took him out of the pit and sold him to a band of Midianites, the Bible says, for $100 in our money. That is less than the price of an injured slave in those days. Joseph was a slave. They didn't care about him. Here he is doing everything right, doing everything the way he was brought up to do. He did everything his youth pastor taught him, everything his mom and dad told him to do, and here he is in a bad situation. A bad situation. The Bible says his own brothers sold him out, and Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house. There are a few things about Joseph I want us to learn tonight. Very few, but listen carefully. First of all, tonight, Joseph had the character to live right. What is character? Character is discipline. Character is saying, I'm going to do right even when I don't want to, even when it's not easy. Character is making yourself get up when you want to sleep so you can get work done or so you can walk with God. Character is doing the right thing even when no one else is doing it. That's character. Joseph had the character to live right. Now listen, young people. You have heard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, now 7 messages. 7 messages in 2.5 days. The rest of the young people in Jackson, Michigan did not hear that many messages. There are probably no other teenagers in this city, maybe even in this state, who have heard 7 messages from the Word of God that have been as Bible-based as we can possibly get them in 2.5 days. We ought to have character. We ought to be able to have the spiritual character to take what we've learned and think about it, take what we've learned and live it. Joseph had the character to live right. Joseph was a good man. He lived right. He did what was right, and he did it even when it cost him. Later on, after they sold him to Potiphar, the Bible says that Potiphar loved Joseph, and man, everything Joseph did really impressed Potiphar. But at the same time, Potiphar's wife was a wicked woman. And Potiphar's wife looked at Joseph, and she tried to get him to do wrong with her. She tried to seduce him. Listen, she tried to make him do some things that would be ungodly. And Joseph had so much character that even though no one else would have known, because the Bible says Joseph was by himself at the house and Potiphar's wife was the only other one there, Potiphar's wife reached out and grabbed the coat of Joseph and said, "Come do this wrong deed with me." And Joseph, when he could have gotten away with it, said, "No way." And he turned around to run, and she grabbed a hold even tighter. And he tried to pull away, and he tried to pull away, and his coat that he was wearing, he just slipped right out of it and ran all the way back to where he lived. He stayed out of that. He said, there's no way that I'm going to do this wrong. How can I sin against my God, is what he said. How can I do this evil against my God? He had character. Ask yourself in your heart right now, or let me ask you, would you have had the character to do right even if no one else was watching? Even if no one else was watching. Well, I don't know. Ask yourself again. Would you do right if no one was watching on your cell phone? We haven't had our cell phones all week. You haven't. Would you do right if no one was looking on your computer? Guys, look at me real quick. It's a big temptation. I know, because I'm a guy. It's a big temptation. Girls, it's a big temptation for you too. It's not just guys, to look at things that would be dishonoring to God. I would venture to say that most of the people in this room have at some point in their life seen something that they wish they could unsee because of the guilt and the sin that you know that was. You know it hurt God. And I say it's not just guys because it's not. It's girls too. Would you have the character to do right? When you go back to school, would you have the character to do right with your friends who could care less if you do right or not? Avian, I don't know, what school did you say you go to? Northwest. If you go back to Northwest and get back maybe with some friends who they're a little iffy on this stuff, would you have the character? I know I'm asking, I'm pointing you out. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm trying to get everybody's attention tonight. Would you have the character to say, "No, I don't do that. God doesn't want me to do that"? Let me tell you this tonight. Pastor Donald's a wonderful guy. When he was in Holyoke, Massachusetts, he visited on a bus route. How many of you come to church on a bus? You ride to church on a bus. Awesome. Keep it up and bring your friends and tell them about God. You can do it. You can stay in it. Pastor Donald was out on a bus route one day, and they came up to his house, he and his pastor, and they knocked on a door, and behind them, two of the boys, one boy that lived there and another boy, walked up behind them. And they turned around and said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" to the one. Then they said, "Who's your friend?" And he said, "Hi, I'm Matt." Matt was just a normal kid. His dad had no relationship with his dad. His dad just completely left him. His mom, one minute, because she was so strung out on drugs, one minute she could be super nice. The next minute she'd be cussing him out. That's the way she is today. That was Matt's home life. So they said, "Matt, would you come to church with us? Would you be willing to come visit our church?" He said, "Sure." Matt came to church. Matt got saved as a result of coming to church. Matt got excited about living for God, and Matt got so serious about living for God that literally he would go home, and this is someone Pastor Donald reached before he came to Loomis Park. He would go home, and they would get mad at him because he said, "No, I'm not going to do that." Now, you guys think that's ridiculous. Like, "No, I come on, it's my family. I can do whatever I want." But that wasn't his testimony. He said, "I'm not going to do that. I go to church." "Come on, dude, you can do this with us. It's no big deal." "No, I'm not going to do it." "Dude, come watch this movie that's got bad stuff in it." "I'm not doing it." "Man, come on, smoke some weed with us." They would ask him. They'd try to get him to do stuff like that. He'd say, "No, I'm a Christian." It really is that simple. Matt went to Bible college. Matt married a young lady. Matt now works at my church and is my youth pastor and has a group of young people tonight that he's getting ready to meet with here in just a few minutes, even, because we're an hour behind him at my place, behind where we are today. And he's going to preach to them. Why? Because he had the character to do right. If he hadn't had the character to do right, he would not be preaching to my teenagers at my church right now. So you say, well, I want to be used of God. I want God to do something in my life. You have to have the character to do right, even when everyone else is doing wrong. Let me ask you another question. Would you, number one, would you have the character to do right if no one was watching? Number two, would you have the character to do right if it got you punished? Say, what do you mean? I mean this. Joseph did the right thing, and they threw him in prison for it. Whoa. God, I thought I was just supposed to do right, and you were going to bless me, and you were going to sprinkle pixie dust everywhere, and it was just going to be perfect, and I'd just be walking through the roses. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! No problem. Life is good. And here Joseph is in prison for 2 years for something he didn't do. You know why? Because Potiphar's wife, listen. Potiphar's wife said, because she had that coat, she lied about him and said that he tried to hurt me. And so Potiphar took him, threw him in prison, and here he was, all because he had done the right thing. See, here's what's going to happen. You're going to do the right thing, and someone's going to throw you in a pit. You're going to do the right thing, and someone's going to try to tempt you, and you're going to do right anyway, and they're going to throw you in a prison. Not literally speaking, but you're going to get punished for it, or you're going to get made fun of for it, or you're going to get, persecuted for it, or your friends at school are going to gather around, and they're going to say, oh yeah, look at that guy. He's that Jesus boy. He's that Jesus girl. She's that Jesus girl. They're just the goody two-shoes. They just want to do it. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to want to say, no, I'm not. I'll do whatever you want, because you're giving into the pressure. So would you have the character to do right, Even if it caused you to get punished for it? Joseph, number one, had the character to do right. Secondly, though, Joseph had courage. See, what did Joseph have courage to do? Joseph had the courage to dream big. Here's what I love so much about Joseph. Here's what I love about Joseph. Joseph was incredible, man. He was so, is this one yours or yours? Can you hold on to that for me? Thank you. Joseph was so courageous, okay, that he would stand out in the field and he would just think about all the things that God was going to do in his life. And he just got excited about it. And he would have dreams and he'd have vision and he would hear from God and he would walk with God and he would think, wow, I just want God to do that with me. He had dreams all the time and he'd tell his parents, someday God's going to do this with my life. He believed that if he lived right, if he had the character to do right, that God was going to bless him so that he could be what God wanted him to be. Not what the world wants him to be. Not what his brothers wanted him to be. Not what his father even wanted him to be, but what God wanted him to be. That took a lot of courage. You know what you need for your life tonight, young people? Listen, you need vision. You need some vision. You need to stop going home, turning on the video game every night, and just like brain dead all the time. Oh, I can beat every level of this game. This is so cool. I am such a talent. Yo, did you see what I just did? I just KO'd that guy. You know what that means? That means you are absolutely worthless to society. Just because you can do something cool on a video game, and I'm not against video games, doesn't mean anything, guys, girls. You need to have some vision. Here's what I mean when you need to have vision. You need to think, Clinton, I'm picking on these two brothers here. You need to think about what you want to be. What does God want you to do later on in life? What does God want you to do? You need to think, what would it be like if I just gave God my life? You need to stop and think about, if I just yielded myself to God, what could He do with me? And you need to stop, put the phone away, put the video games away, take the earbuds out, and stop thinking about all the worldly trash that invades our minds all the time, and just say, you know what, I'm going to get some dreams, and I'm going to get some ideas, and I'm just going to live my life like I believe that God can do something. And you need to get some vision for your life. The Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Seriously, young people today, the majority of young people today, you know what adults think about young people? I'm just going to tell you, and you're not going to like it. They think you're dumb. Not because you are, but because the majority of the teenagers are just sitting around like, I don't care. I don't care. YOLO, you only live once. Yeah, sure, I'll jump off this roof into that swimming pool that's only 2 feet deep. I don't care. I mean, seriously, guys, I'm not against having fun. I'm really not. But at some point, there's got to be a burning desire in your heart. There's got to be something in my heart. You know what I was thinking? I don't want to be prideful tonight, so I don't want you to think I'm bragging on me. But when I tell you this, I want you to know I'm serious about it. At your age, I was thinking about how I was going to get to do this today. I was thinking about, boy, how could I be a preacher? Boy, what could God do if I was someday a pastor? I didn't put those dreams in my heart. We talked about this Monday night. Hezekiah said, it was in my heart to make a covenant with God. I didn't put that in my heart. God did. And you need to let God put a burning desire in your heart, and you just need to think about it. Some of you guys, listen to me. Listen to me, guys. Some of you guys, God is calling you. God wants you to be a preacher. Listen. God wants some of you guys to grow up and to go off to a Bible college and to study the Word of God and to be faithful to the Lord. And He wants you someday to have a youth group like this. God is teaching you right now what He wants you to do. But the question is, are we listening? Ladies, God is calling some of you to live a holy, pure, and gentle lifestyle, one that is feminine, one that is Christ-like and honoring to God, one that is modest, so that you can someday be the wife, not to one of these guys, but to some other pastor. Amen. But to some guy who's going to serve God with his life. To some guy who, I know this sounds weird, but loves God more than he loves you. That's what God wants you to do. You just have to have the courage to dream big. Ab Thomas is the director of Masters Clubs, Masters Kids. Ab Thomas is responsible for hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of children being saved through his programs. He has a son, his name is Paul Thomas. Paul Thomas, listen, is a Down syndrome young man. He has Down syndrome. But that didn't stop Paul Thomas from doing something for God. He had a desire to do something for God. He'd go to these meetings with his dad, and even though he was Down syndrome and he didn't really have much mental capacity like maybe the normal child does, he would think, I could do that someday. And I don't want you to laugh because I'm not making fun of the way they talk, but listen, Down syndrome people, listen, Down syndrome boys and girls and young people and adults even, they can't really talk very well. Paul Thomas will get up and he'll preach today. He's an evangelist. Say he has Down syndrome. How does he do that? He gets up and he preaches for about 5 minutes. And here's what he does. He opens the Bible and he says this. He goes, I want to read you from the Bible today a verse. And he reads the verse. He says, 3 points today. Number one, I want you to dream. Dream. I just want you to dream. Boy, get a dream. Get a vision for your life. Get a vision for your life. And then Paul Thomas will stop and he say, now listen, point number two. I want you to dream big. I want you to dream big. I want you to dream so big and then see if God will do it. Keep in mind, this is a guy who is literally educably slow, mentally slow. Dream big, he says. Then he says, point number three, 5 minute sermon. Dream big for God. Dream big for God. There's nothing wrong with young people. Whenever everybody else is talking about all their accomplishments, yeah, I beat level number 173,562 last night. What have you done? Or someday I want to grow up and I want to be a millionaire. Oh yeah, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be this or I want to be that. There'd be nothing wrong if someone asked you. By the way, one of your friends, if they asked you, said, "What do you want to do?" And you said, "I just want to be a pastor's wife." What? Yeah, I just want God to use me. There'd be nothing wrong with that, ladies. Hey, guys, there'd be nothing wrong if someone looked at you and said, what do you want to be when you grow up, when you become an adult? And you looked at them and said, I want to be a preacher of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to surrender. You have to say, okay, God, I'll do it. Then you have to start studying. You have to start listening to the preaching. You have to say, boy, someday I'm going to preach like that. Ladies, someday I'm going to live like the godly example you have in your youth pastor's wife and in your pastor's wife and the lady workers that are here tonight. You have to decide that you're going to have the courage to dream big. Big time. Number one, he had the character to live right. Number two, he had the courage to dream big. Number three, Joseph had the conviction to keep on going. Listen, here's what happened. I'm almost done. And then we're going to have an invitation. Conviction means that you decide that you believe what you believe. Listen, you got to know what you believe, guys. Girls, you have to know what you believe. You can't just say, I do it because so-and-so does it. You have to know why you believe what you believe, and what you believe has got to come from this book right here, the Word of God. So you have to have the conviction that when times get tough, you keep going. Here's what Joseph did. Joseph, man, he had all these big visions. Woo! Man, he was excited. Someday, God's going to do things. I don't understand it all. I don't know what He's going to do, but it's going to be incredible. And he goes and he tells his brothers, and they say, you're an idiot, and they throw him in a pit. Joseph hears them talking. They're like, should we kill him? Yeah, I think we should kill him. Let's just chop his head off now. Tell you what, let's just leave him for dead. One of his brothers, and I'm not kidding, one of his brothers had to say, just wait. Just wait. Wait until I get back. I have to go somewhere. Wait until I get back. He had to stall them. His brothers were going, I have wanted to kill my brothers before, but I don't think I ever really would have done it. Okay? They wanted to kill. Listen, if you're doing something right, there are going to be some people who don't want you to do right. So they threw him in a pit. And then they sold him as a slave for $100. Cheap. Nothing. So now he's in Potiphar's house. The Bible says, and the Lord caused Joseph to prosper. And Joseph began to handle all of the affairs of Potiphar's house. He took care of the finances. He took care of the servants. He took care of everything. And Potiphar began to prosper. Ladies, listen, please don't talk. Listen to me. And Potiphar's house began to become more wealthy. And Potiphar said, I don't even have to pay attention to this guy anymore. He's doing great. And then he got lied about while he was trying to do the right thing. So he went from the pit to Potiphar's house. Then he was thrown in prison. 2 years. Listen, 2 years go by. 2 years for something he hadn't done. In the meantime, Joseph looks around in the prison. This is the great attitude that he had. And he said, well, I'm here. I might as well get to work and see if I can be a blessing. What? Yeah. I would have loved to have interviewed Joseph. Hey, Joseph, just a couple of questions for you. I notice here that the Bible says that in the prison, you were so faithful that the keeper of the prison put you in charge and you were a prisoner. Is that right? Yes, that is correct. Why would you want to serve in the prison? I mean, you weren't there. Were you there because you did something wrong? No, I did nothing wrong. Then why would you do right? I mean, come on, God let you get thrown in prison. I did right because I believed that wherever God put me. Listen, catch it. Guys, Joseph did right because he believed that wherever God put him was where he was supposed to be. And he had conviction. He believed that God had him there for a reason. We talked today a little bit in the afternoon session about the hurts that some of you have. And how, listen, how we need friends. And how we need to band together, and we do. Did you know, listen, did you know that God never intended for someone to do something to you that was terrible. God does not create evil and put it in your life. God doesn't look down and say, you know what? She needs to be humbled, so I'm gonna slam her with all these problems. No. You know what does that? The devil does that, and God sometimes allows it. He doesn't want it, but sometimes he allows it in your life. Not because he wants to make you bitter. Listen to me, young people. Not because he wants to make you bitter, but because he wants to make you better. Joseph did not succeed in spite of his problems. He succeeded because of them. What God has put in your life, you have to be willing to say, God, I don't know why. Listen, please. I don't know why, but I yield myself to you. And right here where I am at, I will serve you, God. It's a funny story. Pharaoh had a dream. And he didn't understand it. Remember how I said Joseph had dreams and vision for his life? Pharaoh had a dream one night. Maybe he ate too much Egyptian pizza. I don't know. And he had a dream one night, and he laid down and he woke up and he said, oh my goodness, that must mean something. So he tried to find out what it meant. He asked all the people in his house and he told them, hey, I had this dream. What do you think it means? Nobody knew until finally one person said, oh, wait. When I was in prison, Joseph told me what my dream meant. So they went and got Joseph. And the Bible says that Pharaoh told him his dream. And Joseph said, all right, here's what God says your dream means. And he told him what it says. And guess what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said this. Pharaoh said, you know what? you're too good to be in prison. I'm going to make you second in charge. Second in charge of what? Of Egypt? Of the nation? So what that means is this. Listen, Joseph went from being a prisoner to the prime minister of Egypt in 1 hour. Whoa. Well, all of a sudden, Joseph's dreams are real. Back here, Joseph was a young child, a young teenager maybe. And he said, wow, I've got all these dreams. I've got all this vision for my life. And man, it's going to be great someday. And then he goes, hey, guys, what do you think about it? And they tried to kill him. He goes, oh, man, that's rough. He gets thrown in Potiphar's house. And he's faithful there. And he gets lied about. So they throw him in prison. But what about all my dreams, God? What about everything that you said that I would one day do? It's still true. It's just that over here, God is the one that can make it happen, not you. If God puts it in your heart, the Bible says He will complete His work until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not finished with you. He's not because just because you have a background that maybe is kind of different, and maybe your home's not all together, and maybe you don't have a story that's perfect, and you don't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe you do, but you've got problems of your own, and you say, "Man, I just don't know. My life's so terrible. It stinks. I can't be used of God." If Joseph can be used of God, you can be used of God. Joseph had the courage to dream big over here. He had the conviction to live right over here, or the courage to live right, and then he had the conviction to keep on going. The question is tonight, will you keep going? Because in 10 years, I would love to hear about what you're doing for God. In 15 years, I'd love to hear about the youth group that some of you guys are in charge of. I'd love to hear about the ministry that some of you ladies are helping your husbands with. You say, well, what if I don't get married? Then God will have some other ministry for you, ladies. God always has something for you. Joseph, boy, he didn't have everything. All the circumstances weren't right. But he had the character to live right. He had the courage to dream big. And he had the conviction to keep on going. He accepted the fact that he was different. He accepted the fact that he had bigger dreams and different dreams. He accepted the fact that he had difficulties in his life. And at the end of his life, he ended up, listen to me, young men, right where God wanted him to be. And so can you. So guys, listen to me real quickly. Who is God calling in this room? I'm talking about this room right here. Who is God calling to be a preacher of the gospel? Now put your hands down for a minute. Let me ask it this way. Who is it that you have never surrendered to God before to do this, but you say tonight, I feel like God is calling me to be a preacher someday. I want that dream. Young ladies, who is it that you've never surrendered before, or maybe you have and you've backed away from it? Who is it that says tonight, wow, if God can use Joseph like that, I want to surrender to that. Who is it tonight? Is there a young lady that says, I just want to surrender to whatever God, just dream big. We've got some hands going up here. Guys, who is it that God's calling you to do something? How many of you say tonight, look, God is calling me to be a preacher? Is there a guy who'd be brave enough tonight? Avian, if you mean that, I want you to come down here and I want Brother Donald to come pray with you. If you mean that, I want you to have prayer tonight. Brother Drake, I want you to have prayer with Brother Ian right there. Go back to Brother Ian. Brother Caleb, I want you to have prayer with Brother Aaron right there. How about it, guys? Clinton, I want you to have prayer with Brother Bryce right there. I'm sorry, sir. You say, God's never called me to do something like this before. But look, guys, I'm asking you, are you willing to dream big? I'm talking to the guys right now. Girls, I'm coming back to you. How many of you say, how many of you would say, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a preacher, but I'm willing to let God put something on my heart, and whatever He does, I'm in. There you go. God's not going to call everybody to preach. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to have prayer with you guys, all the guys, in just a few minutes. Now, ladies, listen. A couple of you raised your hand. Did you raise your hand right here? You raised your hand just a minute ago. You raised your hand. What other lady? You raised your hand, didn't you? You're willing to let God put a dream. I want you to go pray with Miss Marissa right now. Who else would say, I'm willing to have the conviction to live right, or the conviction to dream big? Right here? Why don't you pray with Miss Jordan, please? Why don't you pray with Aunt Hazel real quick, okay? Right over here. Let's get everybody paired up. Why don't we pray? Can you pray with my wife? Have you met my wife yet? She's right back there in that American shirt. Would you just go back? She dumped water on you. Good. Ladies, I tell you what, whoever else wants to use the altar right now, let's just start praying for these people, and let's start praying for ourselves. Let's have the courage to dream big. If you say, I have the courage to dream big for God, why don't you come on down and pray? Gather around. How many of you would have the character to live right? Then let's pray for it. How many of you would have the conviction to keep going even when it's tough and it doesn't seem fair? Would you come and pray tonight? Would you let God do something in your life tonight? Let's all have prayer tonight. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around.